to draw your attention this evening to the second epistle of Peter, the third chapter. Just a very simple line of truth. I knew that the plans for this evening had somewhat changed, and the Lord was directing me in another direction, and I just felt like I should just go very simply this evening. Let's pick up our reading with, well, let's just go to the next to the last verse. How about that? Long ways down here to the end. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. See, a lot of the things that Peter wrote are warnings. But in verse number 18, he gives some strong admonition, encouragement. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. There's so many different ways that we could look at these verses, specifically this last verse, the 18th verse. Probably more common than not, the portion of Scripture or the portion of this Scripture that is used is the first phrase of the last verse, but grow in grace. We've probably heard countless messages on that phrase. We've heard all kinds of different ways of expressing it. We think about growth. Probably it's more common than not as well that we compare the spiritual to the physical. We draw from the physical to bring it over into the spiritual. Jesus did that so many times. He took the physical and brought it into the spiritual for us to easily understand and better grasp of what he was trying to say. Growth is a very real aspect of our world, a very real aspect of our life. We do reach a point in time when we hope that growth ceases in our physical. We'd kind of like to stop some of that growing that tends to continue on. But growth is just a part of our life. It's a part of our world. Physical growth is something that we live with. Spiritual growth doesn't come as natural to us. Spiritual growth is something that we work on, we work towards, we work in. Spiritual growth is a development that you and I play a major role in. Look out the window this evening to my right. You can look across the freshly raked out and shoveled out dirt, and you'll see some green that has come up just in the last few days. It's not that difficult, especially when the rains were as much as we had in the last several days. You just throw the seed out there, and if the soil's anywhere good at all, it's going to at least sprout. Take root. And as things continue to progress, that should develop into what we would hope is a beautiful green lawn. Something that has to be mowed every week. Something that takes maintenance every week. But our spiritual life isn't quite that easy, if you please. Spiritual life, you don't just throw the seed out there and say, well, seed grow. Develop in that person some way, somehow, or develop in me some way, somehow. It takes some detailed effort and some detailed thoughts, and some detailed plans, and some particulars. We look around us, probably more than what we should in some cases, and we see people who are spiritually mature, at least more spiritually mature than what we are. You know people like that? I'm sure you do. I don't know if there's anybody here tonight that would say that they have already reached the pinnacle that that they don't have to grow anymore, or maybe they would think in their mind that there's nobody that's higher than they are or more developed in their spiritual. I don't think there's anybody here like that. I wouldn't think there's anybody here like that. That everybody has somebody in their mind that they can look to and think to or think about that to them is spiritually more mature than what they are, what you are, what I am. So we all have growth. We all have room for growth. We all have the need for growth. On the human side, when we think about growth, what it takes for growth, humanly speaking, is for an increase of capacity to receive and to appreciate. I wish Shannon Clark was here. She could tell us about what she's going through with the cupboards being bare with a growing boy in the home. She was sharing some of that with us this past week and talking about little Evan and growing Evan and getting bigger Evan and can't keep food in the house. I've got a couple of teenage boys. I know a little bit about that. Some of you have teenage boys or preteen boys. You know about that. They're capacity seems to increase every day. Caleb sat at the dinner table today and said, "I am full." Within 2 minutes, he had his plate full again. And he was gone again. Yeah, there's just a never-ending need it seems to fill because the capacity continues to increase. The outflow, somewhere along the line, turning it into energy and growth and all of that. Now, I know that my bone structure is no longer growing in that way. My growth comes in other ways. So I have to decrease my capacity in order. Some of you are saying a yay and amen to that as well. We try to decrease that capacity. That in the spiritual sense, if we are going to have a growth, we are going to have an increase in capacity. I like the song that we started off with this evening, "As the deer panteth for the water brooks." See, I believe the songwriter, based upon the scripture writer, is speaking about a desire within for that increase in capacity that I can take in, that I can have more, that I want more, because of my need is greater. The greater the capacity to receive. The thing is, with our spiritual side, the capacity can be completely met and completely fulfilled if we go to the right source. We go to the right source. God has all divine supply for all of us. It's rich, it's full, it's free. The law of growth is the same, spiritually as well as in the natural world. The law of growth is basically based on the maintenance of health. I've done a little bit of landscaping, not a whole lot of landscaping, but I've done a little bit, and I've noticed and I've learned, was taught, that when you're mulching a tree or you're putting something around the tree, you have to leave the base of the tree uncovered. Because a tree, in essence, breathes through the base. And so when you cover that up with water, have you ever noticed a flooded area and the trees in that flooded area begin to show sign of malnourishment or improper care? Their leaves begin to go yellow or they begin to wilt down or they're not able to breathe. You take mulch, as wonderful as mulch is for your plants or your shrubbery or your trees. If you take that mulch and you cover up the base of the tree, pile it up around the base of the tree, instead of helping it, you're hurting it. The maintenance of health. Now, health is not a question of age. We must understand that. Health is not a question of age. We don't gain health with maturity. we should be healthy all the way through. Again, if I could have some plants up here, I think I used this in a verbal illustration before here, but let me use it again. If I had plants up here, it's springtime, and we're longing to pick that first ripe tomato, so let's talk about some tomato plants. If it's an inch high out of that starter cup, or if it's 3 inches high, or 10 inches high and has a bloom on it, or it's a full-fledged bush with a nearly ripe tomato on it, we can look at all of those different stages and say that the maturity level is different, but the health is equal, the same, on all of them. I mean, hopefully. So health isn't based on age. Health is based on where we are at that point. Where we are in our health and our maintenance of that health in the midst of our development. John said in his third epistle, the second verse, he said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health." Well, how much health? Is he speaking about the physical health? Is he talking about our physical well-being? "Mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." How healthy would we be physically if it was based on the level of health in our spiritual life? How healthy would you be if your physical was based on how healthy you were spiritually? That's a thought worth considering. So when we consider our spiritual health, what are some things that hinder us in our growth or in our health? Let me give you three things. I don't believe tonight that these are suggestions. I believe that these are three things that hinder us in our spiritual health. The first one would be disease. We can probably all grasp that and understand that soul disease would be sin. Whether it's visible sin or invisible sin, whether it's known sin or unknown sin. I'm talking about unknown as in unknown to people around us. It doesn't matter what kind of sin. It doesn't matter how big of sin. It doesn't matter how little of sin, how black or how white. It doesn't matter anything about the content of sin. Sin is a disease and it hinders us in our spiritual health. That's all understood, I'm sure, by the majority of us, if not all of us. The second thing that I'd like to give you this evening that would hinder us in our growth, in our spiritual health, would be that of the scarcity of nourishment. If you don't eat your green beans, you're going to get rickets. That was the common phrase that my grandma Ziegler used around the table. Never knew what rickets really was. Growing up, I just knew that it was terrible. And green beans would cure me of the possibility of ever getting rickets. The broccoli, I forget what it was that would come on you if you didn't eat your broccoli or your spinach. Some of it had to do with muscle tone. You wouldn't have any muscle if you didn't eat, or you wouldn't do this or you wouldn't do that. Scarcity of nourishment. Scarcity of nourishment would really simply be the failure to feed the soul with its appropriate foods. Somebody just recently, today or yesterday, I forget when it was, asked me about a statement, a phrase that was used that can be used right here, and that is the means of grace. The means of grace. You see, the means of grace are the things that are provided by God as nourishment to the soul. What are the means of grace? Well, grace itself is given to us to nourish our soul on. And we would thank God for grace. We sing about amazing grace, wonderful grace of Jesus. We talk about grace. We can get excited about grace, but it becomes more and more difficult for us to avail ourselves of other means of grace that may not have quite the excitement to it. The means of grace. I think the context in which that phrase was used had to do with the sharing in communion, partaking of the Lord's Supper. It's a means of grace. When we don't avail ourselves of the means of grace, the nourishment that God has provided, we find ourselves frail, we find ourselves weak, we find ourselves going down in our physical health. Not only is the Lord's Supper to be considered that of the means of grace, but also church is a means of grace. We say church, church, how can church be a means of grace when the preacher's dry, the preacher's boring, he doesn't provide anything? It may not necessarily be the preacher's problem that you're not getting anything out of the sermon. It may not be his problem that you're not getting anything out of the service. Now, I'm not trying to build a hedge around myself and say that it's not my fault, but neither am I willing to open myself up to all of your design. The means of grace. When we take the means of grace lightly, then we are not going to receive the nourishment or the nutrients from it. Not only am I speaking about church, but I also can be including in church what church provides. Midweek prayer service, Sunday school, nursing home services, jail services, Good News Club. There's all sorts of things that can be considered the means of grace whereby you and I find nourishment as we partake of what is provided. You say, well, how can Good News Club be a part of the means of grace? It's because the lack of activity also can be a cause of spiritual malnourishment. That's right, the lack of activity. Spiritual exercise is required, is necessary for growth. How many of you have ever had a broken arm or a broken leg and you were in a cast for 6 weeks or more? And how skinny that was when the cast was removed. Never had it done for myself, so I can't say it, but I have seen it in other people. Watched one particular young man have a cast removed, and I think it was on for 6 or 8 weeks, and when he took it off, it looked so funny. Well, looking at one calf of his leg, and the other one in the comparison was very, very visible. The one that had the cast on was so much smaller. Lack of activity. Whether we want to admit it or not, folks, the lack of activity in our spiritual lives causes malnourishment. Causes us to be so that we are not able to carry on a healthy existence. And when we can't carry on a healthy spiritual existence, we talked about it, how long has it been? 10, 11, 12 months ago, I dug myself into a big hole that day because I was so fearful of how it was going to be taken by one among us. The barrenness because of our physical, only to find out that day that part of life was behind them, thank God. If you know what I'm talking about, I was having a very difficult time with the barrenness, physical problems, and Christy wasn't. Troy weren't having any children. Come to find out at the end of that service that one was on the way. It was wearing on me. But it's the truth, whether that's wearing on me or not, that when we have a physical or a spiritual malnourishment, it's hard for us to bear fruit. It's hard for us to bear children, if you will. And if we're inactive, if we don't have spiritual exercise, growth in the soul comes as we exercise. I've had people, now I'm not trying to lift myself up at all. I'm just the only one that I know as well as I know. But I've had people tell me that if I were like you, I could do it. Well, the problem is you are like me, some of you. I didn't start out being able to be comfortable or somewhat comfortable in front of a crowd speaking. It wasn't easy for me to begin doing this stuff. Oh, sure, I had a lot of opportunities, perhaps more so than what somebody else has or had. But sometimes those opportunities came just simply because of a three-letter word that was used instead of a two-letter word. Yes instead of no. I will try instead of I can't. And so since I can't, I won't. And so we begin to stifle ourselves and strangle ourselves, and we can't do what we think we can't do. But really, God's just simply calling us. I never dreamed that I would speak in front of a crowd like this. I never dreamed that I would speak in front of hundreds of people or a couple thousand people. I never dreamed of such. I never dreamed I would go to a foreign country to preach. Never dreamed of those kinds of things. That wasn't the dream that I had. Even after God called and I answered, I still didn't have those dreams. You see, people like me didn't get here overnight. As much as I want to think that Dan Steller has always preached ringers, Brother Keaton has always preached the ringer. He has never preached a flop. People like Don Walden, over and over again, every time I hear him preach, it's still a bell ringer. It's still right there. It's John Parker. You know, how many people can we name that we think in our mind they never have a bad time, but when we stop and ask them what they felt about a particular message, or have you ever felt bad about messages or preaching? And have you ever gone home thinking that was the worst preaching I've ever done? And I guarantee you that every single one of them, doesn't matter how good they are in your book, every single one of them have gone home from preaching and said to themselves or told the Lord, "What in the world are you doing calling me? That was the worst thing I've ever done." It's not a matter of us failing. It's simply a matter of us being active. Lack of activity hinders growth. Means of grace, availing ourselves of the means of grace, availing ourselves of what God provides for us, and that brings us to conditions of growth. A union with God, of course, would be the first thing on the list. The branch connected to the vine. Dependence, song that was sung this evening, I need you more now than what I've ever needed you before. The reason why that song is so vital, so true, is because the older we get, the more we realize how inadequate we are and how much more we do need Him. And if you're not going that direction, you're not going the right direction. Dependence upon God. Reception. Receiving from God soul nourishment, the things that He provides. And finally, transmission is one way of putting it, or activity. Transmitting to others the energy, the spiritual energy that God has allowed to come into our lives. You take these boys that we were referring to just moments ago that have bottomless pits around the dinner table and the snack table and the midnight snacks and all of those things. Some of them have more energy than what they ought to have. You can't control that energy with a belt. You may stifle it for a little while, but that energy comes out one way or another. Once again, can you compare that to your spiritual life? You say, "Well, I'm old. I don't have that kind of energy." But how about spiritual energy? Is there enough energy within us spiritually to be able to transmit to somebody else? To where they want what you have? That's a question that I've tried to answer. Chris Cravens asked the question at convention, or he approached the question, but that he had talked about it with himself before. Why would somebody want to come to our church? What's the reason for you wanting me to come to your place of worship? What do I have to offer? What do we have to offer? We don't have nourishment. If we don't have some energy, spiritual energy, to be able to infuse into them or to transmit to them, then the likelihood is that they will come and go. Spiritual energy, spiritual life, spiritual growth, but grow in grace. Let's stand together tonight. There's times that I force myself because I realize how important it is that I need to cut back on my physical capacity. They say that bypass surgery, or that whatever that's called, is a benefit to some. But if you're not careful, those people that have that surgery, they can still go and continue then to develop and increase that capacity. What about our spiritual capacity? I notice when my spiritual capacity begins to wane. Can you notice it in your own life? Let's go and grow in grace. Grow in His grace. Let's let Him satisfy us to the fullest. And bless us with spiritual health, spiritual nourishment. Praise God. The Lord bless you this week and give you a good week in Him. Amen. Jeff Tyler, would you dismiss us in prayer?